He sees a woman. You say, well, you can control that he saw a woman. I mean, she was there. She wasn't, she wasn't covered. I mean, it's not his fault. It's not his fault that he saw her, but you can always control the second look.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm here in the studio with author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, Pastor Mark Jobe. Pastor Mark, what a great message today about somebody who was incredibly impactful in the world, had an amazing relationship with God, and yet fell into a season of hardness of heart and really found himself far away from God, something that many of us can relate to, and that's King David. And we're here in part two of this message called Denial in the Heart, and watching how did he fall from God. And, today there may be some people listening who think, maybe the sin in my life isn't really that big of a deal. I haven't fallen that far. I haven't taken any of these major big blunders. What do you say to somebody like that?
It's living in denial. Our carnal heart or spirit lies to us and says, it's really not that bad. And I've had so many conversations, Josh, with people over the years who start telling themselves, it's not that bad. I'm not really doing that bad. And they sink deeper and deeper and deeper, still saying, I'm not as bad as I could be. This is justifiable. I think that's what happened to David. And so we can never underestimate the snowball effect of hidden sin and the deceit that it brings to our heart. The great news is that God can awaken us. And there's a point in time where we have to be shaken out of our denial and realize this is really bad. And that's when the journey starts out of our shallow spirituality.
So if you find yourself feeling like, actually I am in a bad spot, is there hope for somebody like that?
Hey, that's good news. If you realize I'm at a bad spot, this message is for you. It's the wake-up call to say it's time to climb our way out of this place.
This is 2 Samuel chapter 11 in the life of David. The message is titled Denial in the Heart, and let's get right into it.
The Bible says that sin is deceitful. Hebrews tells us, but encourage one another daily as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its own deceitful desires. James 1:13-15 really gives us the anatomy of temptation. It describes how temptation happens to us. It says, hey, when you're tempted, don't say I'm tempted by God, because God cannot tempt you to evil. God may test you, but he never tempts you. Nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desires he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Let me tell you something. There is power in the deception of sin. There's two things that the enemy uses very skillfully against us to drag us into sin. One is fear. The other is deception. Fear is the opposite of faith. Decisions that are made out of fear are usually wrong decisions, because they're not thinking about the best possible future. They're thinking about the worst possible future. They're not trusting in God. And then deceitfulness, it really has to do with promising us something that's not delivered. Sin is always that way. The way that you get into a compulsive, addictive behavior, it always starts with a little bit. And here's the way it works. Every drug addict that I've known that's had to go to rehab, that's messed up their life, it always starts the same way. It doesn't start by jumping into one mega, massive dose of drugs. It starts with a little. Let me just test it. And then it's recreational. I feel stressed. It makes me feel good. I do it a little bit. I'm not like that junkie over there. He's got tracks up and down his arm. I'm a controlled recreational user. I'm stressed out. It makes me feel good for a little bit. then soon they find out that what made them feel good 2 days ago now is not sufficient. We have to up the dosage a little bit. And then we have to do it more frequently and more frequently. Now I feel bad about all the money that I have to spend, so I have to go out and find some way of making that extra money, or lying about it, or stealing from accounts, or selling things. And so I feel worse and worse about my life and have to up and up the dosage more and more. And pretty soon, and I tell myself I can control it. I tell myself I can stop whenever I want because I'm not like those people over there. I'm not like that. But it gets worse and worse, and then I wake up one day and I realize my life is absolutely, fully, 100% out of control. But in my mind, I've deceived myself. And oftentimes it's not until some major crisis or some other people around me wake me up and realize I have been in denial. Because sin is deceitful. You say, yeah, Pastor, tell them those... That drug is bad. Hey, every compulsive addictive behavior, even the benign ones that don't fall under the drug category, the same thing. It deceives us. The third thing that we underestimate, and I see in David's life, is that we should never underestimate the snowball effect of hidden sin. Never underestimate it. You see, somehow we think that we can keep things under control a bit. And I want you to see what happened with David. And I've described to you what happened earlier. But so David goes out. He sees a woman. At any time in this process, he could have stopped. He sees a woman. You say, well, he couldn't control that he saw a woman. I mean, she was there. She wasn't, she wasn't covered. I mean, it's not his fault. It's not his fault that he saw her, but you can always control the second look. Hello? You know, it's not your fault that she was walking by in a skirt that is way up her thigh. That's not your fault that you saw her, but that neck-breaking turn that you did like this. Now, that can be controlled. What flashes through your mind is one thing. What you choose to dwell on is another thing. And so the fact that he saw her wasn't the problem. The fact that he gazed and gazed again. The fact that he gazed, and when he found out that she was a married woman, he still pursued her and asked her to come up. And maybe in his mind he thought, well, nothing's going to happen. I'm just going to have a conversation with her, because our mind works that way. It deceives us. In the back of his mind, he knew. And when she came up and began to talk and dialogue, they didn't go from talk straight to the bed. They dialogued and flirted and complimented each other and seduced one another. So next thing you know, they're in bed together. Now, any one of those times, they could have stopped. They could have said no. David was a married man. She was a married woman. They could have said no at any moment, but they did not stop the process. He sent her home. Maybe in his mind afterwards, he felt a little guilty and thought, wow, how did I let that happen? Bad chapter. Let's move on. Maybe it won't happen again. It's never that easy. He gets a message, a private, secret message. I'm pregnant. Ah, this complicates the issues a little bit. It always is more complicated, by the way. And so now David begins to conceive in his mind, because here's what happens. It's a snowball effect of sin. It starts as a little thing, but as it rolls down the mountain of our life, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, and it consumes more and more in our life. So David thinks, aha, I'm a smart man. I've got to solve this problem. Where is her husband? He's at the front lines. David sends a message. Bring Uriah the Hittite home. He brings Uriah the Hittite home under the disguise that he wants to find out how the battle is going. He meets with Uriah, talks with Uriah. Then he puts his arm around Uriah and says, Uriah, it's been a tough battle. You've been gone from home a long time. Your beautiful, lovely wife is waiting for you. Go home, see her, have a good time before you go back to the battle. Uriah is an honorable man, a man of war, a true soldier. And he says to himself, how can I go sleep with my wife in a nice cozy bed when my men and my platoon is out there sleeping in tents on the floor? I will not do that. So he sleeps on the floor near the palace entrance. Plan B. David brings him up again the next day and says, Uriah, come with me. Stay another day. Hey, I have some good vintage wine that I want to treat you to. You've been battling hard. Have another cup. Have another cup. The king gets Uriah drunk, thinking to himself, a drunk man has low resistance. I will get him drunk and then send him to his wife. That plan will work. And when Uriah is nice and drunk, through the manipulation of King David, the writer of the Psalms, the author of Scripture, the lineage of Jesus, then he sends him home. Go to your wife. She waits for you. Uriah is still honorable. He says, even in his drunken stupor, I will not go, and sleeps at the palace entrance on the floor as well. Plan C. David is frustrated by now. This guy's not doing what he should be doing. I can't even get him to sleep with his wife. So now he has a plan C. He writes a letter and he says, Uriah, take this to Joab, the commander of the army. In the letter, little did Uriah know that in this letter was the execution instructions for Uriah. And because what King David wrote to Joab, he said, I want you to take Uriah all the way up to the enemy wall. That's where the archers are. That's where bricks are thrown. That's where boiling oil is thrown down. And people die by the hundreds near the wall of the city. So he says, I want you to take him all the way up to the wall. And then when you get up there, I want the troops to withdraw and leave Uriah up there. And sure enough, that's what happened. And Uriah is killed. It seems like plan C has worked. Aha! The grieving widow is married by the valiant, handsome king who rescues her, marries her. Now, it's about a year later. The baby's been born, maybe a couple of months. David, I think, is thinking, I got away with it. I mean, the engine light was flashing, but I ignored it. I guess that sometimes it works out okay.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Sin from our series called Deeper, Beyond Shallow Spirituality. After this broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11. Our message is entitled, Sin.
The funeral's been done. It's a year later. He thinks, I've escaped. Life goes on. Let me move on to the next thing. But he can't get away. Oh, you can never get away from that still small voice inside of you that says, wrong. I think every time he looked at that baby, he was reminded, you know what? This was wrong. I think when he looked at Bathsheba into her eyes, he was reminded this was Uriah's wife. I think when he went to worship at the temple and to pin a psalm or raise his hands or sing a song, I think in his mind he thought there's undealt with issues. But we become very good at silencing the voices. Oh, you've done it, right? Oh, you've had that conviction inside that you silenced. You've squelched a voice. You've said, no, I'm not going to listen. You've hardened your heart. Because if we drown out the voice hard enough, long enough, we can stop hearing it. Stop seeing it. The Bible calls it the hardness of the heart. So one day, as David is going about his business, the baby's there. He has his new wife. Things seem like everything has gone okay. We're moving on to the next chapter. He gets a call, and there's someone that wants to see David urgently. Who is it? It's Nathan the prophet. He's a man of God. He's talked to David different times. He says, David, I need to see you. There's an injustice that has happened in the land. He comes before David. Nathan the prophet says, I have to tell you a story. There was a man that had a lot of sheep, a lot of flocks, and visitors were coming into town. And instead of killing his own sheep, he looked for another man who only had one single little lamb. And he stole that lamb from that man, and he slaughtered it, and he used that lamb to give to these other men so that that person was left with nothing. King David was enraged. How could someone do that? And Nathan points his finger at David and says, you are the man. Listen. Sometimes when you're not listening to that inner voice, or you choose to ignore the light that flashes on the dashboard of your spiritual life, God will get your attention other ways. If you don't listen inside, God can raise prophets from the outside. God has ways of getting your attention. Sometimes it's through the voice of a friend. Sometimes it's through evidence that leaks out. Sometimes it's through some consequence that pops up in your life that forces you to deal with the issues. Sometimes God has a way of somehow rattling our cage to let us know you cannot get away with the consequences of disobedience. You have to deal with the issues. The Bible says that finally David, caught speechless, said to Nathan the prophet, I have sinned. Well, yeah. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to see this. Not only should you never underestimate the snowball effect of hidden sin. You see, some of you may think you're just opening a small door, but I want to tell you, with one door, a lot of stuff can go through one door. And you may think it's a little issue. Little issues turn into big issues. Now, the fourth thing I want you to understand is that we should never underestimate the consequences of disobedience either. You see, there's a difference between forgiveness. The Bible says that David said, I have sinned, and he truly was repentant before God. And Nathan the prophet says, God has forgiven you. But he said, but the sword will be on your household. Your son will sleep with your wives. There will be tragedy in your house. How many of you know that God can forgive our sin, but we still have to live with the consequences? Let me say that again. You see, some of you think we can sin and just say, oh God, please forgive me, and that it's all done. But I want you to know that God will forgive you and can forgive you, but there's still consequences to our sin. Oh yeah, you can murder someone, and God can forgive you. Even murder can be forgiven. But that doesn't mean that you won't have to serve 30 years in prison. Well, Pastor, I fell with this boyfriend. We got sexually involved, you know, but I've asked forgiveness, so it's done with. Yeah, it's done with. But you know that sexually transmitted disease that you have now, that one day you'll have to explain to your husband how you got it, will be a thorn and an issue in your life. I know you treated your wife pretty poorly for quite a few years, and you've asked God for forgiveness, and she's forgiven you. But here's the thing. The journey to restore trust in your marriage is a long journey. That doesn't happen overnight. Oh, I know you've asked your teenage kid to forgive you because you lived crazy and wild and were abusive in your language and so forth. And he said he forgives you, and God has forgiven you. But you know what? The scar that's left in his soul that leads him to rebellion later in life and that surfaces in his soul. Hey, those are some of the consequences of our life. Oh, I know you've cried out to God and asked for forgiveness for the way that you were gambling your money and using it. But that $30,000 debt that you have now, God has forgiven you, but it still puts stress on your marriage and puts stress on your family. And it's our consequences of our past. You see, God can forgive you spiritually immediately, but it doesn't erase the consequences of disobedience. Are you tracking with me? Because this is huge. Some of you are not experiencing the lack of forgiveness. You're just wrestling with the consequences. David, the consequences, his baby died. He cried out to God, but the baby still died. He lived with guilt. His son Absalom did a coup on the kingdom. He had six of his wives living in a house, and Absalom went in and slept with all six of his wives to his father's shame, his own son. David had to leave the throne, his head down, covered as people insulted him. Consequences of his sin. Oh, God did forgive him. And God did restore him, but the journey back was painful. Last point. You should never underestimate the power of repentance and restoration. Here's what I want you to understand. I want you to hear me well. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how long you've been there, no matter how deep you've gotten into whatever you've gotten into, there is a place for turnaround and change. God can forgive and restore and change and wash no matter what your past is. I want you to know that. Listen, if your past is bigger than the blood of Jesus, then your past is bigger than the grace of God, and there is no such thing. No such thing. I want you to know that. I want you to know that God can forgive, that God can restore. You may be here this morning full of shame and guilt over how you've lived or what's happened in your past. And I want to say that God can wash and cleanse and forgive and restore. God can take the darkest of sins. God can take the multitude, no matter where you've been or how long you've been there or what has happened in your life. God has the power to wash your slate clean. That is how God works. He makes all things new. That's the way God works. There is no one here beyond God's power to change. No one. And if you're here today saying, well, you don't know where I've been, Pastor Mark. If you only knew, I doubt you'd want me in this church. Listen, I don't know. And listen, spare me the gory details. But I do know this. That it's not bigger than God's power. It's not. You say, even my mother has given up on me. The love of God is greater than the love of a mother. Now hear me well. I'm not saying it will be easy. Because the deeper you've gone, the more you're going to love. But the longer the journey to restoration. And some of you get cleansed by God, but then the journey to wholeness and freedom and the journey out seems like it's a long journey. God has a lot of repairing to do in your life. If you're willing to stick it out, he can restore everything that the Old Testament says, he can restore all that the locusts have eaten. He can restore it back to your life. Let me close with this. As long as David kept his sin hidden, he says, when I kept silent about my sin, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. That's Psalms 32:3. He said, there's something about sin that's kept hidden that doesn't allow us to heal, doesn't allow us to move on. There's a place and a time where we need to confess our sins to God, and there's a place and a time where we need to confess our sins to others so they can pray for us. Now, I want you to notice the difference. When we confess our sins to God, it's Jesus who forgives us. When we confess our sins to others, it initiates the journey to healing. It is not others that forgive us or absolve us. It's God who does that. But it's others that pray for us so that we can initiate the journey to healing.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's message called The Denial in the Heart. Join us again on Straight Talk as we continue our series called Deeper, Going Beyond Shallow Spirituality. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.